Glass Breaks, written by A.J. Smith and read by Jeffrey Breton and Georgia McGuire.
Prologue. The man arrived from the distant void following a dream. He turned from the sunken city and looked again at the sea of stars. The battle had finished a few short hours ago, leaving little but the floating remains of countless warships. Thousands upon thousands of bodies bobbed gently in the calm water, waiting to be collected by those beneath. Each time a dead body was pulled below the sea, the man heard a sucking sound followed by a pop, and the corpse was gone. Sometimes a fishy crest would break the glassy surface, or a bulbous limb would be visible, but the creatures beneath remained hidden. They collected every sword, axe, shield, piece of armour, and plank of wood. They even began disassembling the wrecked boats, though to complete their task would take several days. Eventually, everything would be dragged beneath the sea of stars, never again to surface. A vast fleet had attacked the sunken city. That is to say, a vast fleet had tried to attack the sunken city. They'd been destroyed, within sight of it, dying without a single blade being swung. The swift warships had approached at speed, with sails billowing and ballistae armed and ready. 100,000 warriors, maybe more, had sailed a great distance to pick a fight, only to enter a battle they couldn't win. Those beneath had been waiting, just under the surface. They had strange depth barges of jagged coral and thick membranous seaweed, able to skewer the hulls of the warships and drag them underwater. Then the sea had boiled, cooking the survivors alive, inside their leather and steel armour. Some had tried to swim ashore, some had clustered together, roaring defiance to quieten the screams, but all had died. The man had watched from a cliff, invisible to those below. He didn't know who they were or why they'd come south with such ferocity, but he felt the pain of each departing spirit. Despite their defeat, the dead men and women were creatures of power, and they would be missed. Somewhere else in this realm of form was a kingdom to whom this fleet belonged, though that was all the man could sense. He'd arrived only moments before the battle, and was not even sure where he was, only that he'd been pulled to the sunken city from afar. The man stepped back from the cliff and sat against a rock, his eyes flickering between the steaming ocean and the bizarre, cyclopean structures of the sunken city. The bulk of the metropolis was blessedly obscured beneath the still water, but it was slowly rising, with windowless spires of black stone poking through the water for leagues in every direction. In the centre, dwarfing the surrounding structures, was an immense stone edifice covered in seaweed and a slick of mouldy green algae. It was a tomb of sorts, though the dead thing within could still dream. It would take decades, perhaps as long as a century, but eventually the sunken city would be sunken no more. There was certainly enough time for the people of this realm to assemble another fleet. But the man suspected it would meet the same fate as the first. More than that, when the edifice opened, it would unleash primal chaos on the world. From along the cliff he heard footsteps and turned. He knew nothing of this realm or those that dwelt within it, but he knew he was not in danger, especially not from the old man who approached.
"I have been waiting for you," said the old man.
He had wrinkled skin of a light brown and colourful feathers woven into his waist-length grey hair. He belonged to a different order of men to those of the destroyed fleet, with no armour or weaponry. He had nothing but a wooden whistle tied around his neck. He averted his deep-set eyes, then bowed his head.